What other skills must they develop?
They need character development. They also need competency development.
And what kind of competency, for instance, would they need, let's say, if you moved into an empowerment?
Decision-making.
Okay, making decisions.
Planning,
analysis.
Problem-solving.
This is a real case to help make this point. In a class, the supervisor of a group of janitors was questioning all this. It seemed too idealistic. It seemed too kind of theoretical, too abstract, and in his mind, too untested, even though it's being tested in scores and scores of organizations with tremendous results. Nevertheless, and he said, listen, I'm supervising a group of janitors. Now, realistically, come on. Okay, now I want you to talk to me as if I were that supervisor.
Stephen, how do you perceive your employees?
Well, I perceive my employees as, valuable people, and I try to give them a sense of their importance and the sense of the importance of the work they're doing, because it's a tough job, because they get no satisfaction from the point of view of doing it right, hardly. We can say thanks and so forth, but when they don't do it right, brother, are they hopped on. It's a dissatisfaction kind of work.
Describe to me a little bit what you think when you made the statement, keep in mind that I'm supervising a group of janitors.
Right.
What's your perception of janitors?
Well, they don't seem interested in much else but kind of, you know, what they can do after the job, and they try to get by with as little work as they possibly can, and sometimes it's really slovenly and mediocre work. In fact, if I'm not on their backs, many times nothing happened. You know, and I got introduced to this human resource concept of involvement, and I tried it, and they sat there and did nothing.
It sounds like they don't have much sense of involvement and that it isn't a very worthy activity.
I tried to get them involved, but they have to be part of it. I mean, it takes two to tango.
You wonder how much they care.
Yeah, they care for what's in it for them. I mean, it's a relatively low-skilled job, and they can move in and out. The turnover's enormous, but you can train them in about 2 hours or less.
So you believe their commitment to the value of the job, the importance of the job, is lacking? You feel that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've tried to get them psyched about that, but they don't respond very much. And I've heard all this stuff that you're talking about, but I don't know how it applies, how it transfers to that. I mean, that's a real situation. I'm going to go back there tomorrow, and there's going to be 12 of those janitors, and I know I can go down there and try to think through all this PS paradigm, you know, and come
on.
You're
just going to be in a worse situation than you were.
Yeah, probably so. All you've done is guilt trip me. You know, and it won't work anyway. And
have you ever asked them what motivates them, what's meaning to them in their job?
Well, it's kind of obvious, but I have talked a little about them, and as soon as they can get out of there, the better. From far, you know, that's why they're watching the clock all the time.
What are the elements of their job? What are the?
Well, they clean and wash and empty the waste baskets and use the cleaning materials to clean different things, and you know, and they have to go through certain halls and certain offices more often. I have a very good schedule that's been set up.
Do they see any relevance in what they do to fitting in with the needs of the organization?
Yeah, I've tried to explain that it is admittedly a dissatisfier's sizer type job, you know, because if you don't do it right, you hear about it. If you do it right, I try to say thanks. I try to be kind to them and so forth, but I point out that it's vital. I mean, we can't have clients walking through this place in just a pig pen. So I think they recognize that.
Are there any portions of their job, any of those elements that you're doing now that they might be able to develop competency and do?
Well, I don't know what. I mean, most of the time I spend is in planning and then getting on their backs and making sure it happens.
Could they be involved in that planning, possibly?
Well, this actually took place. The kind of reasoning that Annie's bringing out broke the job down into its basic elements. Planning, doing, controlling. Now, who's been doing the doing? Who's been doing the planning and controlling? Why not let them make the decisions on the schedules? Give them the realities, the needs, Why not let them make the decisions with regard to materials? Yes.
Stephen, would you encourage the supervisor to do that first? Because when I was listening to you talk, it was like what Lori said. It sounds like you seem to think you have a very clear picture of what they think, how they feel, what they do, how they respond to things. But have you ever talked to them about it? So would you work with the supervisor on kind of his or her paradigm first, or would you work with a change in actually the structure and hope the paradigm would shift as a result?
Okay, now what is she basically describing in the PS paradigm? She wants to work on the interpersonal. So you come to understand from within their frame of reference, would they be interested in those kinds of things? And also on the personal, you know, before you get into the managerial, you may also want to work on the organizational. I'll just write that off by saying I have no influence there at all, see. That's a very good point you're making. You just can't assume, you know, that I understand what's best for them and then therefore I will do this. But let's proceed with actually what happened.